Shantendriyatmaham Kitpadito Bubukshitaha Nadva Pitarade Nadya Upaspishto Gatashamaha Parishantendriyatmaham Titparito Bubukshitaha Snatva Pitarade Nadya Upaspishto Gatashamaha Parishantendriyatmaham Titparito Bubukshitaha Nata pita hrade nadya upaspishto gatashana Parishanta, being tired. Indriya, bodily. Atma, mentally. Aham, I. Chitparitaha, being thirsty. Bhukshitaha, and hungry. Snatva, taking a bath. Pitva, and drinking water also. Hrade, in the lake. Nadyaha, of a river. Upaspishtaha, being in contact with. Gata, got relief. From Shramaha, tiredness. Translation. Thus traveling, I felt tired, both bodily and mentally, and I was both thirsty and hungry. So I took a bath in a river, lake, and also drank water. By contacting water, I got relief from my exhaustion. Report.
The traveling mendicant can meet the needs of the body, namely thirst and hunger, by the gifts of nature without being a beggar at the doors of the householders. The mendicant, therefore, does not go to the house of a householder to beg, but to enlighten him spiritually.
Parishantendriyatmaham Chitparito Bhubukshitaha Snatva Pitva Hrade Nadya Upaspishta Gatashamaha. The person who is interested in self-realization needs to cultivate renunciation, simplicity. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that he should be vivikta, he should be inclined to live in a solitary place. In other words, he's not very much interested in mundane social intercourse because he knows the quality of such social intercourse. It will lead to mundane affairs. It's like one sannyasi, devotee of Lord Chaitanya, his name was Jagadananda Pandit. And he said, he warned other sannyasis, Gamya Kata Na Shunibe, said, don't listen to ordinary talks. Don't engage in ordinary village talks. Gamya Kata means village or news. In other words, don't be very much concerned about gossip and the news. That's what newspapers are, basically. Just gossiping. Ordinary talk. So someone may say, just like now, the newspapers or news is considered practically vital to the existence of a person. But most of it is unnecessary idling, idle talk. It's unnecessary for everyone to know. Maybe some people need to know, a few people, but not everyone. Because it's not vital information. It doesn't actually help anyone. And also, they see that now the crime rate, it keeps going up, terrorism going up. One of the reasons is because of all the publicity. You can just imagine if the terrorists didn't get such great propaganda, so much news coverage all over the world, then it might discourage them from such activities. So part of the crime is like many of these serial killers, they know that this may be their only chance to become famous. Right. If I can do the most horrendous crime, at least the biggest crime this year, I can become famous. If I can do the most famous crime, then I can become very famous. And so their names will be on the news. And formerly, such a person would not even be seen, or his name would not even be mentioned. He's so sinful. So actually, this is a better process. And then after such activities, then they also give them very long court cases where they get a chance to give their opinions about everything, and life sentences, and then suspended after a few years, like good legal arrangements. Anyway, such news and gossip is not healthy for society. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one time there was a big Britisher, but he was acting as in a big capacity in India, something like governor. So he was surprised when he heard that they were producing a daily newspaper, Nadia Prakash. And he said, how do you have enough material to make a newspaper every day? And Bhaktisiddhanta was replying, because we know throughout the world newspapers are produced. Each city, major city, has several newspapers every day, big stack. So if you took all the newspapers around the world each day, who knows what kind of a stack it would be. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if you can produce so many newspapers and just this little material, one small planet, and there are billions of planets in the universe, and then there are billions of universes in the material world, but the spiritual world is three times greater. So you can get an idea. We could produce a newspaper every second about the spiritual world. So, Gromikatana Shunibe, Varta Kaibe. He says, don't engage in mundane talks, village, and don't dress very nicely. In other words, don't be too interested in very fine dress. Just like because if one dresses very nicely, generally, what is the reason? You dress nicely because generally they want to attract the opposite sex. They want to be attractive. So, one in the renounced order of life is not advised to dress very nicely. Because otherwise, it's putting emphasis on the body. In fact, Shukadev Goswami, or Sutta Goswami, Shukadev Goswami mentions, are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? In other words, he's recommending that the renunciate just wear some torn clothes lying on the common road. And he says, are the caves closed? Are the caves no longer open? You can live in the cave. Why do you? Then he says, do the trees no longer give alms and charity? They no longer give fruits? Trees. Especially in India, because the weather is quite warm. So there are fruit trees. I noticed also in Eastern Europe, they have a better habit. They have the policy. People have trees in their yards, but they don't have just ordinary trees. They have fruit trees. It's very intelligent. Opulent country, we have so many trees, but they don't give any fruits. Most of the trees, just they're big and beautiful, but no fruit. So I saw that in Eastern Europe, they're more intelligent because then, let's say that there's a very difficult winter, and let's say for some reason you don't get food. Well, if you stock up fruits in the summer from your trees, take them, put them in jars or cans or something, you have enough to, you can at least live. But we're so dependent on supermarkets. If the supermarket's closed, that's it. We either kill our dog and eat the dog, or, in other words, we have no way of growing anything or stocking anything. At least if we had fruit trees, we could survive to some extent. So, he says, are there no torn clothes lying on the common road? He said, are there no earthly flats to lie on? If there are earthly flats to lie on, what is the necessity for cots and beds? Prabhupada was quite animated about his reluctance to have any furniture when he first came to America. Wherever he would stay, there was no furniture. So neighbors would come over and say, well, where's your furniture? And he often probably said, I don't have any furniture. I don't need furniture. And he was shocked. No furniture. How can you live without furniture? But actually, that was the system in all the temples. There was no furniture. When I joined, there was no furniture. They took upstairs, we were taking rest, there was just an empty floor. That was it. So, but the brahmacharis are taught like that from the age of 5 years. They just lie down on the floor. So if they become accustomed, now you might think, well, it's not very aristocratic to sleep on the floor. But no, in the Gurukula, they taught everyone like that, even the sons of kings, to sleep on the floor, and the Brahmins' sons. This way, he gets trained up in simple living. These things are not required. The idea is to reduce the requirements. Actually, modern society, especially sharper image, is simply meant to help us increase necessities. Things that are not needed. Completely unnecessary. But we create propaganda. If you don't have one of these, you can't really be happy. And if you get one of these, like these new car, every year, new car. How many new models do we make every year? Each, we have what? 40 car models, maybe more. So every year they're producing a new model, a different, slightly different. What is the value of it? If the light, the backlight, 1 year they're this way, and the next year they have to be a little different. This is complete waste of energy. Why not make a model that works, functional, and then reproduce that? But no, every year they have to employ so many models, designers to make it new, and psychologists to figure out how to bewilder the minds of the people, and this is unnecessary waste of energy. And what is the result? You may say, well, what's wrong with it? It's more artistic. We get new models every year. It's kind of exciting. We look forward to, you know, the new artistic. So someone may say, what's wrong with it? But the answer is that the wrong with it is that people are misusing their human form of life for these worthless things. And soon, death comes, and they never even thought about what the purpose of life is, who they are, how to solve the problems of life. They never really addressed the real problem. They just took it that my problem is that my neighbor has got one of the newer models car than I have. And unless I get a newer model, it's going to be very embarrassing for my wife and my children. My children have to go to school, and their father only has, you know, an older model car. Very embarrassing. My wife said she'll leave me if I don't get a new model car. This is the type of problems they're addressing are not the real problems of life. The real problem of life is birth, death, old age, and disease. Now, how will your new car with the rear light adjusted? How will that solve that problem? Can anyone? Does the new automobile solve the problem of birth, or death, or old age, or disease? No. So those problems they set aside. They don't deal with them. Nobody's dealing with that. How to stop death? Well, you may say, no, we have our research, our cancer research, our AIDS research. But this is nonsense. They're not actually solving any problems. And even if they apparently come up with some kind of serum or antibiotic or something to prevent or cure one disease, what's to stop several other diseases from coming? It's like now polio is not very common in America. It's pretty much removed. But AIDS is very common. And then now you have mental disease, Alzheimer's disease. And you have cancer, and you have heart disease. And then you haven't relieved the disease, you've just simply changed the name. Before it was tuberculosis, now we have cancer. Before it was gonorrhea, now it's AIDS. But because we're living in the material world, there will always be disease. And there will always be old age. They talk about reversing the aging process. They offer, if you buy this tonic, you drink this tonic, instead of getting older, you'll get younger. They speak like that. But everybody's dying, and everyone's getting older. So, they don't really know how to deal with it. But if one minimizes his living in such a way that he has more time to concentrate on spiritual things, that's more intelligent. He has more time to think. And instead of reading newspapers for hours a day, why not read Srimad Bhagavatam? In this way, one will make progress in understanding the purpose of life, understand about the spiritual world. Life is short, and they waste their time in these useless things. So that's why the sannyasi, his life is most suitable for spiritual advancement because he has understood the futility of all these social affairs. He's not just not interested at all. He's called social, it's called civil suicide. One takes sannyas. Suicide is illegal, actually. It's not legal to commit suicide. Formerly it used to be, I don't know if they still do it, but I know formerly if someone tried to commit suicide and was unsuccessful, then they had to go to prison afterwards. You didn't succeed. So now you have to go to jail. You did something illegal. You're not supposed to kill yourself. Now I don't know if they give such punishment because it's like one of my godbrothers, he likes to tell a joke. Most of his lecture he tells the same joke. And the joke is that, well, it's true, but he tells a story about one person who was on a suicide hotline. You know, so people call up when they're about to commit suicide and he's supposed to talk them out of it. So this one person called up and said, you know, my wife, she ran off with my best friend and my son is a drug addict and I just got laid off my job and someone stole my car and I found out I've got cancer and so many things, so I'm about to commit suicide. And so the person said, well, you know, what's your address? I'll come and give you a push. He's about to jump out of a building. In other words, the life is so bad that he was thinking, yeah, suicide's probably a good alternative. I don't blame you because things are so bad, but everybody nowadays is faced with so many more miseries. You may say, what are the miseries less now? They think the miseries are less. I was speaking with one gentleman, and he said that life is much better now than it was 100 years ago. And why? He said, because people live longer. They say that the lifespan has increased. Formerly, people used to live shorter lives. They said, even though there may be more problems, or there may be some problems, due to a sophisticated society, but the fact that one is living an extra 50 years, well, you can tolerate the miseries. So, that's their argument. That at least we're living longer. Well, that's also debatable because according to Vedas, the lifespan is diminishing. You cannot just look at a few years or a few statistics which are favorable to one's argument. Just like he was saying that 100 years ago the average age was less, but Prabhupada was saying that his mother, you know, his grandparents lived like 90 years and his grandparents lived 90 years. And I think back, my great-great-grandfather, he lived 80. So, not like they were just... Now you might say, well, because I was from regular families or well-to-do families, but the poorer families died. Of course, they also don't include in the statistics, the abortions, all the children that didn't get out of the womb even. So they're minus 9 months or minus 8 months age. You have to average that in too. But we understand from the Vedic knowledge that in the previous age, the average lifespan was 1,000, at least at the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, 1,000. And then it reduced down to about 100 by the end of the age. And the age before that, it began with 10,000 and went down to 1. And the age before that began with 100,000, Satya Yuga. And this age starts at 100 and goes down. So actually, this age just began only 5,000 years ago. And the lifespan was 100. We see Lord Krishna, he lived 125 years. Arjuna, they were living over 100 years. And Bhishma was living longer than that. Another generation or two. And now, people are living maybe 70 years, and it's diminishing. Although they say that it's increasing. Even if... And then, but the irony is that they are working very hard to increase the lifespan for old people, but then they don't know what to do with the old people when they get Alzheimer's. Becomes a big disturbance. Put them in the nursing home, get them out of there. And then on one hand, they're trying to extend the life of the old people, but they're trying to figure out ways to kill the baby, the unborn babies. So, see, it's a kind of contradiction. If you're so eager to give people life, to let them live longer, why not let the babies live also? Why are you killing them? They don't have any good intelligence because they're wasting their time. They're not hearing. They could. These people, they're intelligent enough. They have the capacity as human beings. Manusham durlabham janma. Having taken birth in a human form of life, they have the opportunity to understand. They can understand. If they were teaching these things in the schools, we'd be producing pure devotees. All these schools could be producing pure devotees, provided the parents also were willing to cooperate. In other words, the system we have and the opportunities are there that everyone could be successful in life and be happy. You might think that that life here must be miserable. It doesn't have to be miserable. It can be very happy and blissful if they learn the science, how to do it. Children should be taught Komara Achare Pragyo Dharmam Bhagavatani. They should be taught the science of Krishna consciousness from a very young age. They'll be very blissfully taught to serve Krishna. And they'll learn how to eat only prasadam. They won't eat any meat, fish, or eggs. They'll be taught that from the beginning. How to... It's like in India, still, amongst cultured families, they don't have improper relations between men and women. Even still. Of course, it's changing rapidly, but still you find most of the young men, they have not had any improper dealings with women, with girls before they get married. And same thing with the girls. Because they have the semblance, the resemblance of the Vedic culture is still there. It's such a good culture. They're taught how to cultivate the really important thing, self-realization. To cultivate spiritual knowledge. Any questions? Taking bath in the river. He took a bath in the river. Now, nowadays, we have nice rivers right here. The Missouri River, the Kansas River. But you can't take a bath very easily. It's all full of pollution. You can't drink. What to speak? If you drink the water, that's it. Probably die. Because it has so much waste in it. So many polluted things. So, we consider this to be progress. That we use the rivers for floating our industrial waste downstream. Transportation. That's what they do. They don't want to dispose of it. It's too much trouble to get a truck and you just dump it in the river. The river's flowing and it goes down. Let the guy downstream worry about it. This is our mentality. Lazy. Live in our own filth. We pollute our own environment. We pollute our own water, our own air. We pollute our own ears, our own bodies, everything polluted. So you want to be part of this society? You have to decide whether you subscribe to this way of life. Or if you don't, then what are you going to do about it? Then you have to de-subscribe yourself. It's like they send you junk mail and they say, well, we've included you. Now if you don't want to be a member, you have to write back and tell us you don't want to be a member of this whatever conference. So you may say, well, why do they do this? I didn't want this, but at least I have the opportunity to get out. So you have to make that effort to get free from it. But they know many people won't. They just keep, all right, it's coming, so I'll take it. Similarly, we're born in this material world, not exactly against our will. Actually, it was our desire to be born here in this material world. But we do have a chance to get out, but we have to make some effort. We have to first of all say, I don't want to be part of this world, and I do want to sign up for the spiritual world subscription. I want to be part of the spiritual world. But if we're not willing to even do that, I was speaking with someone last night, and I was saying, so you have to chant every day. And they were saying, well, so much. If we're not willing to make the effort even to chant, how do we expect to get out of this material world to purify our heart? That's the easiest thing you can do, is chanting. It doesn't cost anything. It can be done anywhere. There's no formalities. There's no hard and fast rules. You don't have to go to a church. You don't have to dress in a certain way. You don't have to take any vows. Just chant. Chanting itself. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatiranita. It's the process for this age. So chant Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam.